Welcome back to this week's DBM Strategy Call, Part 1. I'm John, and sitting across from me is Sarah. We've got an absolute whirlwind of a week to unpack. If you thought the digital asset space was slowing down, the past 7 days just rewrote the playbook. We're talking about a fundamental regime shift in how both governments and Wall Street look at money, scarcity, and corporate treasuries.
Absolutely, John. The old playbook isn't just outdated, it's being thrown into the incinerator. We're watching a massive collision between sovereign policy, macro mechanics, and agentic AI. Let's dive straight into the macro side of things, because the foundation of the financial system just shifted towards our model again.
Okay, first up, we have the macro picture, the mechanics of the new Fed and corporate treasury illusions. Let's start with the central bank of central banks. There's a massive regime shift happening at the Federal Reserve under Kevin Warsh. The last four chairs were essentially trapped in a lagging feedback loop, reacting to old inflation data while printing under a structural doom loop. Warsh, handpicked by Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, is bringing what macro experts call an operator's mindset from the real world.
Right, and his primary tool is changing the very measuring tape of the economy. The Fed is aggressively pivoting away from core PCE and focusing heavily on trimmed mean PCE. By cutting out the statistical anomalies and geopolitical noise, inflation suddenly looks a lot closer to their targets. To an ordinary person building a business on digital assets, this means one thing. The Fed is preparing the runway to tolerate higher inflation while keeping real rates low, explicitly favoring hard money and productive assets like Bitcoin to act as a liquidity sponge.
It's judo, not boxing. As we know at DBM, you don't fight the inflationary regime. You position your balance sheet to let it fuel your growth. But speaking of balance sheets, John, let's address the elephant in the room, the Bitcoin Treasury trade mirror. For over 3 years now, the ultimate crypto cheat code wasn't a speculative token. It was Michael Saylor's strategy loop.
Yes, the MNAV flywheel. Let's break down the mathematical logic on this. While a company's market value to Bitcoin ratio, MNAV, sits above 1.0x, issuing stock is highly accretive. You sell $100 of premium stock, buy $100 of spot Bitcoin, and give shareholders more Bitcoin per share than before. Saylor used this to accumulate over 843,000 BTC.
And once you drop below 1.x, the math completely inverts. Selling stock to buy Bitcoin now destroys value per share. The machine runs in reverse. Worse, Strategy flashed a minor warning by selling 32 BTC. A rounding error, but a possible psychological crack in their never-sell ethos. Their perpetual preferred stock, STRC, fell to $95, signaling that the market is doubting their monthly par peg stability.
Right, and for builders of digital asset businesses, the lesson here is profound, as we have been assessing in DBM. If you are building a treasury strategy around yielding digital assets or capturing market premiums, do not mistake a bull market financing trick for a sustainable business model. If a cluster of these copycat treasury corporations slip below NAV simultaneously, they flip from the market's biggest buyers to forced sellers, throwing Bitcoin back into a falling market.
Exactly. And this structural shift coincides with a rough macro patch. Bitcoin is down roughly 20% since the Clarity Act cleared the banking committee. ETFs saw $4.36 billion in outflows during this regulatory stagnation, signaling a massive liquidity rotation as legacy equities hit all-time highs. BANX head of research highlighted that while Q4 looks like the prime time to have a full position, we're in a temporary capital drought. Capital will eventually rotate back, but only to crypto assets with real utility. All eyes on our wider blockchain factory positions in the second half of 2026 as we optimize our Bitcoin holdings at this lower price window.
Okay, next up, we have a strategic logic update for our yielding assets such as ATLA and SuperJuan.
Let's talk about that real utility and what it means for an ordinary person building a digital business today. If you are launching a digital asset enterprise, your focus must shift from pure price appreciation to structural supply architecture and cash flow yields.
Yes, this brings us to the fascinating forensic analysis of Bitcoin's long-term target. On paper, institutional models aren't making emotional predictions. They are running strict calculations. With a hard cap of 21 million, 4 million already permanently lost, and a daily mining output of just 450 BTC, the active trading float is tiny. When wealth managers move their asset allocations from 0.5% to even 1 or 2%, the price cannot walk to equilibrium. It has to jump.
But as a builder, relying solely on spot Bitcoin leaves you vulnerable to the high beta correlation it currently shares with tech stocks and the NASDAQ. That is why integrating yielding digital assets into a digital business ecosystem is vital.
For sure. Let's look at that. First, the strategic logic. A modern digital asset business cannot survive on static treasury assets if the market premium dries up. By utilizing yielding assets, businesses build a native cash flow layer. When spot markets enter a buyer drought or a liquidity trap, your yielding assets provide the operational runway to avoid becoming a forced seller.
Then there is the yield cushion. It creates an internal, closed-loop economy. Instead of constantly off-ramping into fiat to pay operational costs, yielding protocols allow a business to self-fund milestones, compounding its asset base independently of external Wall Street IPO rotations or seismic government policy shifts.
Which leads us nicely into the next segment of this week's call, geopolitical and sovereign shifts, the weaponization of rails and agentic AI commerce.
Yes, let's pivot to the geopolitical front because the plumbing of global finance is being entirely re-engineered to counter these exact digital asset architectures.
The headlines here are massive. First up, America's banking giants are fighting back against stablecoins. JP Morgan, Citi, and Bank of America are officially launching a tokenized deposit network via the clearinghouse. Geopolitically, Western banks realize they're losing the retail and settlement rails to private stablecoin issuers like Tether. Simultaneously, Stripe, Visa, and MasterCard are aggressively building their own unified stablecoin platform.
They want the efficiency of the blockchain, but they also want to retain control of the ledger. Meanwhile, pro-crypto U.S. senators are actively trying to scrap the restrictive rules that slap legacy banks with a massive 1,250% risk weight for holding spot Bitcoin. If they succeed, it's another brick out of the institutional dam currently holding up traditional capital from entering digital assets.
On the sovereign asset front, Tether just launched a gold-backed Visa card globally, letting users transact in tokenized gold, XAUT, that converts seamlessly at checkout. It proves that the line between sovereign money, commodities, and digital daily spend is completely blurring. Even President Trump weighed in on the geopolitical AI race, suggesting an intriguing model where the U.S. government owns pieces of core AI infrastructure and hands shares directly to the American public, effectively making citizens sovereign partners in state-level computing. Are they finally getting that the public need to benefit from the technology they use every day?
Maybe. And speaking of AI, let's look at the absolute craziest stat of the week. Cloudflare CEO revealed that AI bots and autonomous agents now generate more internet traffic than humans for the first time in history.
Wow. And they aren't just browsing, they are transacting. Dynalysis reported that aging payment activity on Coinbase's Base network has topped 100 million transactions. More importantly, high-value transfers above $1 now make up 95% of all X402 transaction value, up from a measly 49% in early 2025.
Think about the strategic weight of that for a business builder working ahead of the curve. AI agents are no longer just doing micropayments for APIs. They're moving real corporate money, on-chain, autonomously. If you're building a digital asset business today, your primary target customer base within 5 years might not be humans. It will be autonomous software agents looking for low-friction, high-yield digital rails. Your job is to own as much of this infrastructure as you can before the inevitable transition.
Fascinating. It's good to be ahead of the curve in AI trading, GameFi, sports, and entertainment. Okay, what's the bottom line this week, John?
To tie it all together, according to Seiler, Wall Street is preparing for massive $80 billion mega IPOs that are sucking $400 billion in cash out of stable assets. The legacy banking sector is tokenizing its infrastructure to survive.
If you're an ordinary person looking to build in this space, stop chasing the hype of the short-term premium. Focus on absolute Bitcoin scarcity, build native cash flow models via yielding digital assets, and ensure your business infrastructure is ready to handle payments driven by autonomous AI.
Absolutely. The train isn't stopping, folks. You just have to make sure your balance sheet is on the right side of the tracks. Hold your course, keep your assets moving, take advantage of liquidity events, and keep an eye on the Bitcoin price for the remainder of 2026. As ever, part two of the DBM strategy call focuses on all these factors as we do all we can to optimize and consolidate our digital businesses in this interconnected world. We'll see you on Mondays at 11 a.m. UTC to focus on what we can affect this week. See the show notes for access. Keep stacking, and see you next time.